do what we can do today, now. Let's do now what we can do. Let's get out and scrounge around and expect God to supply the need today, what we need for today, not worry about tomorrow. Let's get busy and teach the disciples we have right now to get ready to be leaders tomorrow. Let's not worry about tomorrow, but let's do what we can do today, right now, today. Because look what God's going to do tomorrow. Wow, God's going to do mighty things, miracles tomorrow. He's going to do greater things than we ever imagined. Let's do what we can do today so God will be able to do what he can do tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, why don't you say amen? God bless you. I miss those amens, hallelujahs. Praise the Lord. Get happy. Shout. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. All right. Now get quiet again so you can hear the rest of what the Lord's laid on our hearts. So, when things got too rough in the world and Noah wondered what in the world to do, things got too tough, probably they were getting a lot of persecution from all that wicked world. I'm sure they were. Must have been a hard time even building the boat, the thing they were obeying God to do today. But they did it under pressure, under persecution. But it was under what? It was under a threat of the judgments of God that were coming. Right? God said, you better get that boat built, buddy. You better get that boat built, buddy, because I am going to do something that you are going to wish you had. Because when things begin to swim, you better be able to float. And so under the pressure of the impending judgments of God, Noah got busy and did what he could do, and his sons could do, and their helpers could do, their families could do, and they built and got ready for God. Get ready for God. Get ready for God. Did you hear that? Get ready for God. Do what you was not able to hold them. The Egyptians began to get worried about them. They were beginning to outnumber the Egyptians, getting so numerous that they posed a threat to the system. They posed a threat to our society. The leaders, now we've got to do something with these people. They're growing too fast. They're getting too numerous. They're getting too powerful. They're spreading too much. They're getting too influential. We've got to do something about them. Why do you suppose God let the worldly leaders, the system leaders, think like that and decide to do something? Because the children of Israel were perfectly happy and satisfied there in the beautiful Nile Delta land, well watered and fertile and comfortable and lush and green and profitable and secure and plentiful and protected and provided. They would have just sat right down there in Egypt for the rest of their lives and enjoyed all the comforts of Egypt and all the provisions and the protections of Pharaoh, and they would have just luxuriated in Goshen for the rest of their days. But that would never fulfill the prophecies of God, because that was not the country that God had promised Abraham. That was not the land that God had said he was going to give them. That was not their country. That land belonged to the Egyptians. That land was theirs. That hell of a country belonged to the hell of a people and was going to reap the hell of the judgments of God. So, what did God do? He began, because they would never have been willing to expand or move or hit the road again as they had done in the past, unless God had stirred up persecution, pressure, judgment, criticism, and all the rest. God had to do it, or they would never have been willing to move or expand into a land of their own where they could expand as much as they wanted to and have their own government and their own people and their own kings and their own religion and their own freedom, to be free to expand and to grow and be the witness that God wanted them to be. They never could have done this in the system. They never could have done this in Egypt. They never could have done this under the cramped quarters of the little land of Goshen. They thought that was plenty. They thought, well, Lord, we've got plenty here now. just let us stay here. This is great. Land of Goshen, just nice and comfortable, and it's very fertile, and lots of rain, and lots of water from the Nile, and our flocks are increasing, and our herds are fat, and we've got the protection of Pharaoh. This is the place. Well, why can't we just stay right where we are? We're getting along great here, Lord. We're multiplying by the process of multiplication. Multiplication is the name of the game. We're having so many children, and we're growing, and we're getting along great. Why don't we just stay right here? Well, because God had other plans. God had other purposes. God, in his great prevision, had other provision. Provision. And God, in his great foresight, he had other protection and another place. In another land, as that dear little song, the Gypsy Children, that Lynette sings, and that we play so often. We've got a copy of it with us, and when I get a little low or a little discouraged, I want you to know, Lynette, I play that song, and it thrills me because I know it's the very voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God speaking through you. He gave you those words, and those words were part of what encouraged us to go and take this leap of faith, because one night when we almost gave up, you dropped in and sang that song for us, and I thought, my God, how can I fail these kids, much less fail you, Lord? How can I fail them when you've revealed to them what you're going to do? You've revealed to them what you're planning. How can I fail, Lord? I can't fail them, much less you. We've got to go through with it. God gave you that song. It was prophetic, and it's thrilled our heart. And I've listened to it over and over again, and I've thought again and again, oh, God. That is the theme. That boils it all down to one simple little song. What you've told us, what you showed us, what you're going to do, and what we've got to do. We have got to obey. We can do the wending, as my mother used to say. As they went, they were healed. God told them, go thou. Go thou and do this. Go thou and do that. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go home and tell your loved ones. And as they went, God healed her. As they went, God gave them the power. We have to do the wenting. We've got to do the obeying, what we know God has told us to do. We have to, first of all, do the forsaking, the dropping out, the dedicating to God, the utter dedication, the complete 100% commitment to God. We don't have to know what's going to happen tomorrow, or what he's going to do in the future, or what's going to happen as a result. We don't have to know what's going to happen tomorrow. All we have to know is what God is going to do today. Obey God and do what he has told us now. Right now. Do it now. You've got to do it now. You can't wait for tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. You cannot do it tomorrow. Oh, I wish I could tell you the sad little story of the beautiful, young, brilliant French philologist, a brilliant student of languages, a professional interpreter, a professional translator who knows several of these European languages, and her work is to work with some of these great commissions and the government and so on in translating and in giving a running interpretation during their councils and conferences, like you heard at the United Nations, you know, on the earphones, you hear the running interpretation of what is being said. That was her work. We got a hold of her on the train, and God gave us all day long in a seat facing opposite her. God woke me out of a sound sleep and said, get up. There's somebody you've got to talk to. But Lord, I'm sleepy. Lord, I'm tired. I've been on the train all night. I can't get up. Get up. There's somebody I want you to talk to. She's in the room right now, and you can feel it. You can feel those vibes. You can feel the vibration. There's somebody here that's important. Somebody here that you've got to talk to. Oh, me. Okay, Lord. All right. So I sat up, and behold, to my dumbfounded amazing surprise, there was this gorgeous gal sitting immediately opposite, who broke into a just wreaths of smiles, beautiful sunny smiles, and smiled right at us, so friendly and so sweet, and said hello, and or whatever she said, I don't remember, but French or something. But we finally discovered she could speak English. We began to talk to her eventually about the Lord. And she was so ready. She was just like almost, not just ripe fruit, but almost rotten fruit. That just, we hadn't even picked off the tree. It just fell in our laps. She just fell right in our laps. She was so ripe and ready and so hungry, and in tears she had been looking, searching, and longing, and this was it. This was it. And then as we stood up to go, and the train arrived in Paris, she said some significant things. She said, "But what do I do now?" And boom, the Holy Ghost hit me like this. He said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I was so shocked at what God had put in my mouth. I thought, "Lord, what do you mean? She's supposed to follow us? She's supposed to go with us? Now, Lord, how can we do that?" And she got the point right away. She said, "Oh, you mean I'm supposed to follow you right now? Go with you?" Well, I kind of hem-hawed around, and I didn't hardly know what to say. And pretty soon she said, "Well, you know, now I'm your baby. I'm your responsibility. You've got to take care of me." Imagine, this little lamb, this newborn baby, who had more sense than I had. She knew more about it than I did. But I was unwilling at that moment to say, "Yes, we'll take the responsibility right now. Take us home with you. Take us to your apartment. Let's go right now. We'll take care of you." May God forgive me for failing God, because that was the inspiration I had, was to go home with her right then, because we needed a place to stay. Instead of that, I said, "Well, no, I don't know." She said, "Well, what are you going to do now?" I said, "Well, I don't know. We're just going to look to God for the answer." Well, I'm ashamed to confess, God had already in my heart given the answer, but I wasn't willing to obey. And the answer was to ask her to take us home with her, just like Jesus did and the apostles did. He didn't hesitate to ask them to take him home. When that little guy, what was his name, that was up with a tree, he just said, "Zacchaeus, I want to go home to dinner with you. Take me home." Well, Zacchaeus could have given all kinds of excuses, but he took him home. Don't hesitate to have faith to obey God and say to people, "Take me home to dinner."